Well, good morning to each and every one. We do have many who are visiting with us today, and we are so grateful and thankful you've come to praise and to worship our God with us and to spend some time together in His Word. Let me encourage you to turn your Old Testaments to the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, there are several of you already who know, oh, I know that chapter. And in fact, I know that chapter not only because I know that story, but because we've looked at that chapter not that long ago, a couple years ago. Well, understand this. There's always things to take from Scripture. And also, there are several of us here today who were not here a couple of years ago, but I have an aim in today's lesson as well. As we have been praying about and looking forward to, Brother JP and Sister Chelsea and their family will be here, hopefully arriving on Friday. And they've got quite the busy time and schedule, and he agreed to preach this coming Sunday, so next Sunday. And I have asked him several times, JP, are you sure? You don't have to. We'll get you back on the schedule very soon after. You don't have to preach this Sunday. He said, oh no, I'm ready. I'm ready to hit the ground running. So he is going to be speaking for us next Sunday, which means this is the last time I'll be speaking before our kids return to school. And I very much appreciate Brother Mike in his prayer this morning, praying for all those who will be starting school and those who will be coming our way to go to college and other schools as well. So I want to look at this text this morning together and looking at this example found in the life of David. We're going to be focusing on the idea of fear. Now, when we think of the story of David and Goliath, we think of David as this one who had no fear in this story. And while certainly within this account, we see one who has courage, and we'll talk more about that. We're not to understand about David, though, that he never had fear. All you have to do is read the Psalms, and you see there are several occasions where David had fear. And so in Psalm 55, and note what he says in verse 4, "My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away, I would lodge in the wilderness." David knows fear. And in this psalm, and of course, at the end of the psalm, he'll talk about his confidence and his trust in God. And yet, as he's working through this, there is the acknowledgement of how fearful he was and what that was doing to him. This morning, I'm keying on what David says in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In verse 32, when David first comes before Saul, and he says, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him," that is, on account of Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Let no man's heart fail. Now let's just talk about the situation here for a few minutes. The Philistines, those of you who have studied the Old Testament, looked at the Old Testament, you already know they are not an uncommon enemy of God's people. They had been afflicting God's people during the time of the judges. We see during the time of Samuel, they were a problem. During the days of Saul, they're a problem. And they keep coming back. And interestingly, they keep coming back in different ways. There are some occasions where they have the technological advantage, that they have iron weapons. They don't allow the Israelites to have those things. So the Philistines had these, the Israelites do not. But on this occasion, they come against the Israelites and they bring one figure in particular. The text starts in chapter 17 and verse 1, that the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. Now, I just want to focus here for a second to again impress upon all of us that when the Bible talks about these places and these events, it's talking about real places. This is to the east of Jerusalem, sorry, to the west of where Jerusalem was. It's on that borderland between the land of the Philistines and where the Israelites lived. It's a photograph that Brother Farrell Jenkins took. And you would be standing in the perspective of this photograph where Israel was standing. And you'd be looking across this valley, and on the heights opposite is where the Philistine army would have been gathered. But of course, 1 Samuel chapter 17 talks about one notable soldier in this Philistine army. Verse 3, the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation here, 5,000 shekels of bronze, approximately 125 to 150 pounds of armor. We noted his height earlier in verse 4, where he's 6 cubits and a span. That would translate to us 9 feet 9 inches tall. He goes on in verse 6. He had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelins slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. That is about 15 pounds. And his shield carrier walked before him. I mentioned to you that the Philistines keep on coming in different ways. Well, in our reading of the scripture, this is the first time they come with a giant. And he's there. And again, picture yourself in Israel's shoes. Here they are, and they're looking across, and they can see the Philistine army, and they see that one figure in the Philistine army that's head and shoulders above everybody else. And he walks forward. And he walks forward and issues a challenge. He says in verse 8, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Here's the challenge. I'm willing to fight on behalf of the Philistines. You send out one soldier. We will do battle together, and whoever wins that battle, then that army wins. And how does Israel respond? With fear. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The tragic thing that you see in this passage is that this is not just a one-time occurrence. Skip further down the text, verse 16. The Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. And so if we're to take from that, that two times a day he issues this challenge, and he does so for 40 days. There are 80 occasions that Israel heard this same thing from Goliath. Skip down to verse 24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Here is their response. And again, I just think of this idea that here's something new. It's not as if Israel has not faced the Philistines before. They have faced the Philistines numerous times. But this time they brought a giant. And now no one is willing to fight. Israel is typified by fear. And because of that, they cast that fear onto David. It would have him doubt as well. Of course, we all know David as the hero of the story. And those of you who remember when we talked about this not that long ago, you'll remember that's not what Israel thought of David. Israel did not think David was going to be the hero of the story. No one in this account has any confidence in David. So we pick up in verse 12. After Goliath has come and he's issued his challenge, And all of Israel's afraid. We read about David. And he was the son of a man named Jesse. And this Jesse had 8 sons. And it talks about how Jesse was old. And it talks about in verse 13 that 3 of Jesse's sons had gone with Saul to battle. And again, remember this. We know this battle is occurring at least over a period of 40 days. That is uncommon in these ancient affairs. And so as this is going on, Jesse becomes concerned. What is happening in the battle? How are my sons? Verse 17. Jesse said to David his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000 and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news of them." What expectation does Jesse have of David? David, you go and you turn the tide of this battle. You go and you bring victory. No, David, take the groceries. Take the food. And find out some news and bring it back to me. That's what Jesse thinks David can do. And so David goes. And while he's there, it's one of those occasions where Goliath comes out, issues his challenge. All of Israel trembles in fear. And so David begins to ask questions. Wait a second, what's this? Who is this guy? What's going on? And so they start telling David about what's happening and even the promise that Saul has made of what he would do for the man who would stand up to the giant. Verse 28. Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." What does Eliab think David's going to do? "You came for a show. You came because you thought you'd be able to see a fight. Little boy, it's time for you to go home." That's what Eliab thinks of David. Well, then David is finally brought to Saul. And again, put yourself in his shoes. Saul is the leader of Israelites' army. And for 40 days, there's been one Philistine who stood out there and said, "Send me your best man." And none of Saul's army says, "I'll do it." And by the way, we can take from the very next chapter, it would seem that Saul's son Jonathan would have been there at this occasion. We know Jonathan, mighty man, man of faith in God. Jonathan doesn't stand up and say, "Oh, Dad, I'll go. Don't worry, I've got this." No, nobody does. 40 days. And so finally, one comes and says, "I'll do it." Now, maybe Saul could have been relieved. Okay, finally. But he looks and here's this kid. And so what does he say? Verse 33. "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth while he has been a warrior from his youth." You can't do it. You're a kid. And this giant has been fighting and killing since he was your age, if not earlier. Fear. That's where everybody in Israel is operating out of a place of fear. And because they were so afraid, they were trying to make David afraid. But David, as we've already said, said, "Let no man's heart fail." He was not going to give in to fear. Fear remains a problem for God's people. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Our Lord issues this command to his disciples. Matthew 10 and verse 27, I'm sorry, verse 26, he says, "Do not fear them." In the context, and we won't take the time to read all this, but you go back to verse 16, and Jesus is telling his closest disciples, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out with the message of the kingdom, and you need to go and proclaim it. And guess what? People aren't going to like you. They are going to persecute you. They are going to try to kill you. And if you ever wonder why they're doing this, you understand it's because they hate me. And they will persecute me. And if they're doing that to me, they're going to do the same thing to you. And it's in that context that Jesus then says to his disciples in verse 26, do not fear them. Why? Because what happens when you're afraid? You don't act. You cower. Israel did not act for 40 days because they were afraid. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you're afraid, you're not going to act. Continue on. He says in verse 26, there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. The disciples of Jesus were being entrusted with his message, with the gospel of the kingdom. He says, what I'm telling you, you've got to go and tell others so you can't be afraid. Because if you're afraid, you're not going to tell them what I'm telling you. Fear. But the problem isn't just that I have fears and you have fears. But even as we noted with Israel, the problem is also, what do we do with those fears and how we put them on succeeding generations? Last night, once the kids had gone to bed, Jana and I were watching some of the Olympics. And while we're watching, and I guess we're kind of blessed in this age, we don't normally see a lot of commercials because we don't really watch just regular TV that much. But if you want to watch the Olympics, you're kind of watching regular TV. You don't have much of a choice. While we're watching, a commercial comes on for one of these medication commercials. And you know, anytime you have a medication commercial, there's going to be all these things about how you ought not to take this medication because you're going to die if you take this medication. But one of the things that was said, and maybe you saw the commercial, maybe you already know. Do not take this if you were assigned female at birth. If at 9:45 last night in your home you heard something and thought, that sounds like Josh sighing, it's because you heard me sighing from my house. What do you mean if you're assigned female at birth? You are born either a male or a female. And so, you know, you get frustrated at first. You want to yell at the TV at first. But then you start thinking and you're like, this is what my kids are growing up in. Remember Israel? They fought the Philistines before. Philistines now are coming with a giant. They haven't seen this before. We've all experienced fighting against Satan in so many different ways. And now he's coming with whole new things and concerns that we've never had before. We never gave this any thought before. And so it is understandable that we're concerned. Do you know what Scripture wants us to do with Satan? Yes. Yes, Scripture says, recognize how powerful your foe is. We're not going to diminish Satan and his abilities. He keeps on proving it over and over again in new ways. But Scripture never tells you to be afraid of him. Yes, understand his power. Understand what he's doing. But I'm not going to make my kids afraid. I don't want them to be afraid of what this world is. I don't want them to be afraid of how Satan is operating in this world. That's not what we need to do. David said, let no man's heart fail. And he says, I will go and fight. David had courage. In verse 40 of 1 Samuel 17, you read this simple account. And David took his stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, from the very brook, dried brook in this picture, put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch, with his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. But you and I already know he did not simply approach the Philistine only with his sling and five smooth stones. He approached the Philistine with his God. That was his response to Saul. When Saul said, you cannot go and fight. And David said in verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said to him, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And you skip down the text. And as David is standing there, and he's facing this giant, and Goliath is there, and Goliath is heaping scorn on David. You know, who is this? Why do you come at me with a like I'm a dog with a stick? And David says in verse 45, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And the significant thing there in that passage is David is the only one in this entire chapter that even talks about God. David says, this is the Lord's army. Saul hasn't talked about the Lord. Goliath has talked about the army of Saul, but no one has even mentioned the Lord except for David. And David says, I'm coming to you, but I'm coming to you with the Lord. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down. Skip down to verse 47. All this assembly may know that the Lord is not delivered by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's exactly what happens. Goliath rushes. David takes one stone, places it in his sling, and hurls it at the giant. The stone sinks into his forehead. Goliath crashes to the ground, and David slays him. David said, I will go and fight. That's what he wants us to do as well. Go once more to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Notice what he says in verse 28. Our Lord says, still talking about how they ought not to fear. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, first reading of that, we ought to take. If I'm going to fear anybody, it should be the Lord. His power, his might is greater than anything I'm going to face here. But I tell you, I think we can look just a little bit deeper, and there's something else there too. This one whom we're to fear, who can destroy both body and soul, guess what? He's on our side. He's not the enemy we're facing. He's on our side. And so our Lord continues in the very next verse, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Yes, if there's anything, any person, any being I am to fear, it is God. His power, His might is greater than all others. But if he's on my side, I have nothing to fear. So rather, what I can do is I can go and fight. Now, what is the fight that Jesus wants his disciples to wage? Well, he's already talked about it earlier in the passage. What I tell you, you go and tell others. He continues the thought in verse 32. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. What's the fight he wants me to wage? To confess him in my life. But again, in our culture, and as our world continues to depart further and further from not only biblical truths, but just simple facts, to profess Christ, to live according to his standards, that's the fight we wage, to confess him in our lives. And as he concludes in this passage, to take up our cross and follow him. I mentioned I wanted to speak about this today because I want to talk to our kids who are starting a new school year. I almost said, let's have them all sit in one section, but you don't want me to point out people like that. But I'm talking to you. Fact is, you will face some challenges this year that you've not faced before, regardless of what age you're at, because that's how Satan operates. He always has those familiar temptations, things we've experienced before, but he presents those in new ways. So you're going to face those. As you've gotten older, and as you get older, you're also going to see that those peers, those friends that you've had, who at one time, you know what, we talk about Pokemon, we talk about video games, boy dad, not a girl dad, I honestly don't know what you guys talk about, so sorry. But the fact is, there comes that time when your friends aren't just talking about those things anymore. They're talking about things that we don't talk about that at my house. And that's going to be a new challenge. And as your body grows older, and now you have feelings and emotions in ways that you didn't have before because of changes that are happening naturally, physically, and Satan will try to tempt you in those things as well. I believe in every one of you. Now, there's a reason for that, though. And I acknowledge we've got some of the best kids in the world. But I don't believe in you because of how good you are. Because you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. But I believe in you because I believe in the God that you serve. Go and fight. Don't let us old people scare you. Don't let us make you fearful. You go and fight. How do you fight? Tell others the good news. Keep your confession of Christ. Bear your cross for him. And to the rest of us, we know David faced Goliath with the Lord at his side. But do you think David could have taken a little comfort if, and this didn't happen, but what if, as David is standing out there, Eliab, his brother, shows up on one side. And Jonathan, the son of Saul, shows up on the other side. And then David could look behind him and more of Israel's army are starting to fill in because they had courage too. But that didn't happen in David's story. It's just David out there. Let's not make any of these face the enemy alone. God's on their side. God can and will see them through. But Israel, Let us not be afraid. Let us stand with them and encourage them in the fight that they take to the enemy. You have a God who is greater. You have a God that our Lord talked about, that He's the one we are to fear. We shouldn't fear anything else, and that God is on our side. We want you to be on His side. We want you to put your faith in Him and not in yourself. And that means that there are those things that are wrong, because yes, Satan is powerful. And Satan has tempted us in so many ways, and we do fall short. But you can repent of those things. You can be baptized and know that the blood of Christ will forgive you of your sins. Carry on that good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you'll be a child of God. And God fights for His children. If we can aid you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?